Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 3rd of September, Tuesday. So we are having our puja. So let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sada, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. So for the information of BC, here we combine the Mahayana and the Theravada puja. So we will start by reciting the Mahayana one first. Okay. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Guansuying Pusa. Namo Guansuying Pusa. Namo Guansuying Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Bhusyen Pusa. Namo Bhusyen Pusa. Namo Bhusyen Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Uttang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarpa Ditena Dipena Tamadang Sina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudham gandha sambarayutena dopenaham suganghina pujaye pujaniyantam puja bhajana muttamam vanna gandha gunopetam etam kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddham kusumena nena punnena cena ca hotu mokhang pupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now you will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering the light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools us and doses off the of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated and just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attention. Then we will have our half an hour of silent meditation. We will off the light. Then you can just make sure you have a stable posture. Relax completely, body and mind. No need to think of anything. Relax means be at ease. Whatever thought that want to come and distract you, you can talk to the mind. you will deal with it later after the meditation. So in the meantime, allow you to have the space to meditate. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For those who still maybe need to train your mind, you can use whatever method or technique that you are familiar with to train your mind. The most suitable one that the Buddha recommend is Anapanasati. Anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath. No need to focus or concentrate, just silence your mind, maintain awareness, then silence everything to detect the breathing. Like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Then whenever this mind wanders off, patiently bring it back. Do not arise any mental negativity, like aversion or dislike. Just let yourself understand the untrained mind thinks a lot. It's heedless, it will wander off. So if you are patient enough, if you continue to maintain that silence, that patience, then continue to train, the Anapanasati will come. And for those who find it difficult to do Anapanasati, if you are completely new, then the best way to calm your mind down is to develop the mind sweeping method. And I will give you some simple instruction to do that. Just make sure you have a stable posture, backbone straight, close your eye, relax completely body and mind. Then maintain some form of attention at your forehead. Feel, don't think, just feel your forehead. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just soothingly relax, relax, and relax. Relax all the tension that you can feel. Then you can move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Just silence everything. Feel, relax. Make sure all your ciliary muscle, your eye muscle are all fully relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Make sure every strand of your facial muscle is relaxed. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then in order to help you to relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, means you have joy, you are happy. So that natural state of happiness and joy will bring about the relaxation of body and mind. So the radiant smile will de-stress whatever facial muscle. Then you develop metta, loving kindness, starting with yourself. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your mind. When you have this well-being and happiness, it will bring about inner peace, inner calmness, and inner well-being. That's why the mind will settle down, because you just feel and you don't think. Then this metta will bring about inner well-being. Then you can continue. May I, this body and mind of mine, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May its mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may it always keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can extend this metta to all your loved ones. May my loved ones, including my parents, my brothers, my sister, my good friend, and others who have close affinity with you. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then now you can extend this metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of this house, the whole of SS2, including all Kayanamitas who are meditating with us here, then extend it to all beings within the whole of Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and the planet Mother Earth. Then extending it to all beings throughout the solar system. Then extending it to all beings within our galaxy, our Milky Way. And finally, to all beings throughout the entire existence, the whole universe. Then we wish them, may all beings be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May no negative thought arise from their mind. May their mind states be always wholesome, calm and peaceful. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle, feel relaxed. Then sweep the mind down to your neck, feel relaxed. When you feel and relax, the mind cannot think. Then you sweep it to your neck, move it to your shoulder, feel relaxed. Hand, feel relaxed. Back to shoulder, feel relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your heart, your chest area. Silence everything and just feel. You can detect whatever vibration or your heartbeat. Maintain mindfulness and just stay there. But if you are new, you are not so sensitive, you are not trained, then just relax. Like you feel your forehead, you feel your chest area. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within you, just relax them all. Feel them soothingly relax. Then you sweep your mind down to your stomach, feel relax. To your abdomen, feel relax. Then you sweep it down to your leg, feel relax. Your buttock, feel relax. Then you can reverse this whole mind sweeping method. From your buttock, you feel relax. Leg, feel relax. Then you move it up to your abdomen, feel relax. Then your stomach, feel relax. Then your chest area, silence everything, and just feel relax. Then you move it up to your shoulder, feel relax. Hand, feel relax. Back to shoulder, feel relax. Then neck, feel relax. Then sweep it up to your facial muscle, feel every strand of it and relax them all. Then your eye muscle, feel relax. Then your forehead, feel relax. By now your mind should be more calm, more peaceful. You just maintain the silence. Then in order to help you stabilize that silent mind, the silent mind without thought is actually your meditative mind. So you have to maintain that stability of that silent, the meditative state. To do that, If you have not trained, if your spiritual faculties are not developed, you need an object of meditation to anchor the mind, so that the mind stay with the object of meditation. Then you maintain mindfulness of the object of meditation. This mindfulness can stabilize. So the Buddha recommended Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, so you can use it to anchor your peacefulness of mind or silent mind, which is your sati. So you maintain attention in front of your nostril, silent everything. And as the breath moves, your awareness and the breath move as one, like the Buddha's instruction. Breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Just train. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back, train. If you are patient, not long, maybe 5-10 minutes, the Anapanasati will stabilize. Then you will experience a type of joy. They call it piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness or spiritual joy that arises when the mind is in sati, when the mind is no longer thinking. Then as you continue to stabilize the Anapanasati, you feel very calm, very peaceful, with a lot of joy. Then you will like to meditate. So continue to relax into every mind state that arises and maintain that peace within the calmness, the mindfulness, until this Anapanasati become very refined, very quiet. So as you relax into it, this piti will also transform and become like very much more refined. Then it will accumulate into sukhang. Sukhang is a spiritual blissfulness of mind. You will experience a type of bliss, very, very blissful. Again, you relax into it. Do not be distracted by it. Just relax, silent everything. No need to know, just aware. Through the awareness, you will develop understanding. Then as this Anapanasati continue, as the piti and sukhang become more and more stable, you will finally slow everything down. Then the breath, everything will slow down until one day you hardly breathe, like you got no more breathing. The breath has become like stop or very subtle. It's as if you cannot feel it anymore. There is no more breathing. Don't worry. When you reach that state, it's a sign of good progress. You just relax and silent everything and stay with the silence. No need to do anything. You maintain until the mind becomes so quiet, so still. Then your mind will enter sati. You will develop the more refined sati that can enable you to be mindful of even the subtle breathing. During that time, the subtle breathing, which you can't perceive earlier on, you will start to perceive them later. Then when you perceive them, it's like you can stay there. Then the silent mind can be aware of whatever that arises. This is how the mind transform and develop into pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, your true mind. And use that mind to meditate. That is the mind you must develop. So I will let you develop the training. Then I will stop the instruction here. You can develop the meditation further. Then when the half an hour is up, the alarm will go off. After that, I will ring the bell 3 times. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. Okay. I'll move it further. So don't block people. Okay, thanks. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. So today, I think Stephanie sent us a text message. She's BC, yeah? How to spell your name? BEE? SEE. So she's today joining us new. But she knew me and my family long time ago, during the later part of 80s, 1988, 89. That time I was still at Brickfield Tape Library, our whole family managing the tape library. Then the moment she walked in, I can remember her. You can remember my wife or not, anyway. My daughter now 40 years old already coming to. Last time they were small girl with me. Now she is 39. My son is 37. All grown up already. So time really fly. So I think all in, I retired in the year 2001. Then after that, in fact after the year 1989, I seldom go Brickfield after that. Yeah, after that, I find Brickfield has become different. Then also, no more those conditions. So for a period, I was not there. But I went back every Vesak without fail, I will be there. Then every Vesak I go, I see things are different. Then a lot of issues and things. That time we hear through the newsletter, they got the BMS. They have the BMS, and the other one is, I don't know. I used to receive the circular, then also the newsletter. Then for a period, I think there were some. I think involving the temple committee and the Sasa, there is this Singhalese, the founder, the land belonged to them. That time I still remember. But in the early day it was very nice. The Sunday school, when the early chief was still there, Kesri Damananda, I always record his talk. Every Friday night and Sunday, whenever he gives a talk. Then whenever they invite speakers from all over the world, I will be in charge of recording that. Then I will do up the cassette tape for people to borrow so that they can listen to them. I think I was in charge of the tape library for about 10 years, 10 or 11 years. After that, after 89, I left. I handed over to somebody, I forgot who already. There is some helper there who took over. Then after that, I didn't really go to any temple. I just stay at home. But people came and see me. Then people came and invite me. Yun Chan was the one. He came in the year 2004. At that time he was with the Vipassana Society. So I saw the newsletter. They have a spiritual trip to Fraser's Hill, I think, if I'm not wrong. I think it's Fraser's Hill. Either Cameron or Fraser's Hill. I think it's Fraser's Hill. Then I told my wife, I said, do you want to go? So that we can find out what is happening to the Buddhist community. What are they doing? So my wife said, okay. So I wrote in. Then Yun Chan replied to me. He said, Brother Teo, she doesn't know who I am that time. He said, Brother Teo, very sorry. He said, all the space taken up already full. I said, no problem. If you can, you put me on waiting list just in case got people pull out. You let me know. Oh, you say sure. Then it so happened two person pull out. That's why she came and contacted me. And meant to be, she lost my phone number. She can't contact me through the phone, but she got my address, the application form address. So she said, okay, she will come and see me. And somehow she came. Then the first time I met her, I think she came about near to 9 p.m. at night. And I invited her in. Then we start to talk about the treatment. I say, okay, I will pay you and all. Then after that, she started to ask me questions. Where are you from? I say, haven't seen you around. I said, I'm from Brookfield. I say, used to be from Brookfield. Then after that, he asked some questions. Then the way I reply her, she sent something. Then she keep on talking to me, until almost 11 something at night, near to midnight. Then the husband called, how come take so long? Then she said, right, do I have to leave? Oh, I said, okay, you can leave, no problem. We talk another day. He said, sure. But continue until almost midnight. Then after that, she left. Then she came two more occasions. On the third occasion, she requested me to come out and share. He said, since your Dhamma is so good, why not you come out and share? But that time, I have this concern for people, devotees. Because I remember last night when I was at the Brookfield Temple, I was responsible for recording, you remember? Those sitting at the back, listening to the Dhamma talk, after the talk, they got a private discussion among themselves. So the thing that I heard make me concerned. Because they dare to simply comment on. They don't care who the speaker is. Then I say, if I come out and share, what I understand is almost the opposite of what people understand. So all this may happen. Then out of love and compassion for them, I turn down Yun Chan for three occasions. She requested three times. I said, never mind. Not now. I said, later. Then she requests again. I said, later. Then the third time, I still tell her later. I say, wait for appropriate condition. Then she also say, never mind. Then she went back. Then the moment she went back, something inside her, my nature speak to me. Hey, say, it's about time for you to come out. What are you waiting for? I say, that concern. He said, you don't worry, you introduce condition. Oh, then that gave me the idea. So I introduced three simple conditions. I told her, on these three conditions you accept, I will come out and share. I said, we are here to share our understanding. Yeah. No right, no wrong. Yeah. First. Otherwise, a lot of complication. Then I say, most important is the sharing must come with respect. Yeah. Means I respect you for what you are, you respect me for what I am. So due to mutual respect, we will not argue. Yeah. You can state your view, your opinion on what the teaching is. I will accept. Yeah. Because you are you. Likewise, similarly, I hope you can accept what I share with you is based on my understanding. So mutual respect will solve the problem. Then the third one is very good. Whatever that is useful, we will take them, make use of them to cultivate, to maybe progress along the path of Dhamma. Then she told me, no problem, brother. So in order not to create all this misunderstanding, I set these three conditions. Then I remember the first condition was, I don't want to call it a teacher giving a talk. I say, it's Dhamma sharing. That's how we started. Dhamma sharing. So during the early days, you look at the transcript, it's all about Dhamma sharing. the sharing of the teaching, the truth. That's how all these things come about. Then after that, they started to come to the class. It started from Vipassana Society in, I think there's a Kanan restaurant, section 17 there, upstairs. So those were the years. Then after that, other people came to know. Ing Chai came to my class together with three of them, I think. And immediately after that, invite me to Chempaka Buddhist Lodge to teach. I say, Chempaka Buddhist Lodge, where is it? He said, Taman Mega. Oh, I say, okay. I will have to ask the Kayamita. I say, I don't know whether it's convenient or not. Then I say, give me 2 weeks. So when I wrote the email out, everybody responded so favorably. He said, Brother Teo, you should go there. That is where a lot of them went earlier. So a lot of them were from there, actually. So because of that, I say, okay, we start the class. And on the first day of meditation, Ing Chai also don't believe. She was also amazed. 40 old people turned up. And most of them I didn't know, except for those who were with me before. So that's how it started to grow. Then later on, it's history. You look at the website, you will know. Then people contacted me to give talk. So I went to a few Buddhist organization. I think Klang also came. Klang got 3. Tiratana was the main one. Then there is one, Klang and Kosa, is it? That one also last time scheduled me for 1 year. Then I told them I'm a bit occupied. That's why later on I didn't really continue there. Then there's another one in the city there. Buddhist, don't know what. But the committee member is almost the same one, the same few people. So that one also invited me a few times. Then Putrahai, Buddhist Society, also invited me. Then they start to write to me from this. Near to Kajang Sai. There is a Buddhist society there in the Metro Kajang. But there is a development scheme, a property scheme by the name of don't know what. And the Buddhist society is from there. They wrote to me. I say, I really don't have the slot. Well, I was that time almost... the schedule is so tight. Almost every of my... we got Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, I got my classes. Last night, Chebaka, Saturday. So 4 days a week. And on Sunday and other weekend, the invitation to me to give talk, like Friday talk is Klang. So I was really occupied, I told them. So I try not to get involved in too many of this. Then later on, the Kayamita group actually expanded. Then we just fixed 2 hours. Thursday is Subang. Subang Jaya. Sui An's house. You know Sui An? Oh, you know Sui An. Then Sunday is Mahayana Temple. Section 11. Last time there is a very famous monk there. Po Yen Sang Lao. He is the lineage of Xian Hua. They were the first line of disciple of Xu Yun Lao He Sang, the venerable Xu Yun. Xu Yun, I think he passed away at the age of 120, a very famous monk. So he has a lot of very outstanding and famous disciples. So So Poyen Chang Lao is one of them. He also passed away at the age of almost 100. I met him a few times too. Then later on, I never expect the niece to invite me to go there and teach there. He was a Mahayana temple, I English educator. I told him I cannot teach in Mandarin. He said, never mind, we want you to teach in English. So I teach all the Mahayana Sutta in English. That's how I was there. And that book I given you, the last book, Heart Sutta, you read through the synopsis or preface, it's all mentioned there. I delivered a lot of sutta there, but this Heart Sutta take about 15 months. And they did the short notes, then later on we compile it into a book where a lot of people find it so useful. If you want to understand all the essential Dhamma, you read the book enough, everything is there. But if you want more detail, you read the other book. The other book are all the sharing for about 2 hours or 2 hours plus. Sunday one is about 3 hours. Sunday one is 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. That one is first session, Dhamma sharing. Second session, meditation, followed by Q&A. So this is for your benefit. Busy, yes. Can I have your phone number? I have to add you in where I need to share the notes of this. What is your handphone number? Wait, I add you in first. 011 2 6 3 2 6 3 0 7 9 8 8. Do you receive? Does it go in? Didn't go in. I don't know how to add. My Kayamita. Oh, under BC. But how come that phone number didn't come out? Oh, okay. No, this is BC, not BC. Oh, Chan. Oh. Oh no, all these are not. Oh, you subscribe another website, any? Can you send me a note? You share. Stephanie, you are the administrator, isn't it? No, I didn't see. If Sian have added her, I will see it here. Yeah. Hey, how to add right here? Yours is on which website? You say you have added on which website? Oh, that one. That one is different, yeah. That one is different, yeah, yeah. That one is different, sorry. This one is our internal one. So once you are here, all my talk you will receive. Then the notice all you will receive. It's part of the Kayamita. You manage your ad, Stephanie? Yeah. ending, huh? Stephanie, done already. We didn't see. No, what you can do is you forward me. No, you forward me her address, the phone number. Just forward to my Kayanamita. No, you just forward to my Kayanamita. Then we can add her. Do you have my handphone number? Don't have. No, send to my Kayanamita. Huh? You send. Ah, okay. Come in already. Okay. Ah, okay. So this one I will add to contact. Oh. Her name is there. Chan B C S J B A. Oh, from yours, huh? Okay. So now I can add her. Okay. This time you are in. Okay. You receive? So now I will forward the last Thursday class. Cannot. She just go in, she cannot see. She cannot see. I have to forward again. Okay. Now you can see. Okay. So now we can start off by going through this August 27th Thursday class, short notes. Why I go and write Tuesday class? Was it Tuesday class or Thursday class? Oh, Tuesday class, correct. Yeah, Tuesday class by Narada. Yeah. Okay. So we will go through this one. Then only we will continue from where we stop. We stop at chapter 41. So this one was the outline short note prepared by my daughter Sui. So I edited it today. So it's very good. Okay. Okay, so I will read to you. Brad, 27th of August, Tuesday class outline, short notes. So the reference book is The Buddha and His Teaching by Narada, chapter 39, The State of an Arahant, page 560. And we also shared chapter 40, The Bodhisattva Ideal, page 565. So the first note, note number one, the so-called living being or human being, which is our five aggregates of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world to live life, to develop the cultivation and experience the beauty and wonders of life, to use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, and right action, to be a blessing to all, and not to be deluded by it. For those without wisdom, it is for them to come and pay back their karma. So that shows to you how important this teaching is. If you don't understand this teaching, you come back. Most of the time, you have to pay your karma. You are being drawn by karma. Nothing else. But if you have the Dhamma, you will know how to make use of this so-called form and mind, the five aggregate. This one is, according to the Buddha, not real, not you. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine.
So that is self-delusion. And the second point is, there are three categories of enlightenment. First is the Savaka Abohi. Savaka Abohi refers to the sound hearer, or those cultivating the sainthood way leading to the Arahant ideal. Then the second one is Pajika Abohi, means those who cultivate through the Pajika way, means they awaken to the dwelling or Paticca Samuppada, condition arising Dhamma on their own, without the help of the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha's asana. Difficult for other beings to understand, as there is no existing framework, structure and foundation to teach the Dhamma understood by them. So these are Pajika Buddha. Mostly they arise during the non-sasana period, because there is no sasana, there is no proper structured teaching of the Dhamma. Not like we are lucky now, we are in the midst of the Sakyamuni's Buddha Sasana. So the teaching are still available, the structure are all very nicely compiled and developed. Then the last one is the Samasambohi, means those cultivating the Bodhisattva way leading to Bodhisattva ideal of realizing Samasambuddhahood. So these are the three categories of cultivation to enlightenment. Then point number three is the ten Dhammarayam. This one is the Mahayana title definition. The first six Dhammarayam, they refer to the 31 plane of existence of the Theravada tradition. So our 31 plane of existence, we have this, the four willful state, means the hell realm, the animal realm, then you have the demon realm. So there's a pitta realm, sorry. So hell, pitta, animal, demon. So these are the four. They call it the woeful state, means they are not the happy rhyme. They are not the sensual rhyme of happiness. Kama loka sukati. They are called kama loka dukati. Dukati means the suffering rhyme. That's why we call it the woeful states. Then the fifth one is manusa, the human rhyme. Then the sixth one is the deva rhyme. So to the Mahayana, they categorize all the devas, including the Brahmas and the formless rhyme, under the sixth rhyme. They call it the heavenly rhyme, Tian Fa Jie. So the first four woeful state, together with the human rhyme, consists of fifth. Then the sixth is the, they call it the heavenly rhyme, Tian Fa Jie. So this one include the devas, the Brahma, and the formless rhyme. So all this add up, you have the 31 plane. Then they got four more planes of enlightened beings. These enlightened beings, the first one are the realm of the sound hearer, means those who cultivate the sainthood way, leading to the four types of enlightenment, the four types of sainthood enlightenment: Sotapannaship, Sakadagamiship, Anagami, and Arahantaship. Then you have the rhyme number eight. They call the rhyme of the Pajika Buddhas, those who awaken to realizing the dependent origination, the dwelling, means condition arising enlightenment or awakening. Then the nine is the Bodhisattva rhyme, rhyme of the Bodhisattvas. Those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way, they are classified under this 9 rhyme. Then the 10th rhyme is the rhyme of Sammasambuddhas. All the Sammasambuddhas, they are classified or categorized under the highest rhyme, the 10 Dhamma rhyme. Then Master Xuanhua always described this 10 Dhamma rhyme. He said, living beings and Buddhas, they are almost the same. Do you know why he said that? He said, the difference is only one thought of ignorance. 相差一念之间, is it? That single thought of ignorance that started during the beginningless time, that's how you fall until now. Yeah. Whereas the Sammasambuddha has realized the enlightenment, they have rooted out the ignorant and they have perfected themselves. That's why they become Sammasambuddha. But before an individual falls, they are actually with the true nature, the original nature, the oneness nature. That is actually your Buddha nature. But because of that single thought of ignorance, you fall. And you evolve and become what you are today. So unless you are a cultivator, you cannot return because you lost for too long. It's like, if you are not careful, you run away from home. Then you get yourself stranded somewhere. Then what happens is, maybe people adopt you or kidnap you, or like last time they sell you to overseas. They say my chi chai. They sell you as slave and all those things overseas. Then you don't know where you are also. So you went all over. It's just like how the Mahayana Sutta describes living being. Because of eons and eons of birth and death. So the living being become the traveler in space and time. So you have been traveling all over the 31 plane of existence until you also cannot remember who are you, what are you, where were you from originally. So when people ask you, where are you from, you can't even remember because you have been lost for too long. So this 10 Dhamma rhyme, there is an interesting teaching by Xuanhua. That's why he said, the difference between the Buddha and the living being is just one thought, one single thought of ignorance. 相差一念之间. Then he always say, if you don't understand mind, you don't understand Buddha. Do you know why he say that? Because he say, mind is Buddha. 佛就是心, 心就是佛, those are no Mandarin. 你无慧心就无慧佛, is it? The meaning is very deep. The first time I heard that, I had a lot of joy. Because he is talking about the true mind. The true mind is actually the Buddha. Your original mind. Your true nature. Original nature. And he said, if you don't understand mind, you don't understand the Buddha. Because Buddha is actually basically mind. The true mind is the Buddha nature. But the mundane mind, after it has rooted out ignorance, perfected itself, is also Buddha. That's why within the conditioned world, there is such thing as a Sammasambuddha when they arise. That's why in that sense, 佛就是心, 心就是佛, that one is true. In both sense. So during the early years, I remember, when he came to Malaysia a few times, every time he comes somehow, I met him. When I was in the university also, I met him. 1976, I remember, he came to MU, Faculty of Economics. I was there. Then I got the notes. That's how I came to know about him. And later on, when I graduate, I think 1980 something, 86 I think, I met him again. Then that time, my whole family take refuge under him. That's how I listened to a lot of his talk. Where I did the recording, I went to this Oakland Road Inn. That one is a Mahayana temple, I forgot the name of the temple, along Oakland Road there. Next roadside, I think. Now, the temple, you have to walk up a flight or step. Okay, we go to note number 5. Note number 4. There are 3 types of bodhisattva way of cultivation. So if you want to cultivate the bodhisattva way, you can choose. You can emphasize on wisdom, which is one of the way. The panya perfection means the emphasis is on this panya perfection. From panya, you develop the rest. So this one is the shortest. You can finish it off with about 4-word cycle type of training. Sakyamuni Buddha did the wisdom way. He completed his perfection in less than 4-word cycle, 3¾. Then virya, those who emphasize on virya or spiritual zeal perfection, they can perfect over 8-word cycle. The longest one is the one based on faith. Those who emphasize faith as the main perfection, that one take 12-word cycle. But that one is very special. Amitabha Buddha cultivate based on faith. That's why his teaching is very, very awesome and very amazing. So those who follow him, they develop the Pure Land teaching. He was able to perfect his perfection, wisdom, virtue and perfection until he can transform the normal, what they call sensual rhyme or earthly rhyme, into Pure Land. Means he can create Pure Land, another rhyme or existence which is outside the 31 plane. And you can cultivate from one of these Pure Land. He has a lot of Pure Land because of his vow. So those who have affinity with him, have faith in him, and know how to cultivate according to his teaching, you can develop the affinity and you can take birth in this Pure Land and from there continue your cultivation. So if you read the Amitabha Sutta, you will know. But even though you are born there in the Pure Land, you also have to be like Bodhisattva from any earthly rhyme. Take birth as Bodhisattva to come to our, what they call, human rhyme. Where human rhyme is the rhyme where you can learn a lot of things. The human rhyme is very unique. That's why almost all Buddhas, their last birth before they become Sammasambuddha, they will have to take human birth. Because the human rhyme is the most challenging rhyme. You really have the means, the wisdom, the understanding and the cultivation. You can perfect yourself and become Sammasambuddha. But at the same time, you are heedless. You don't know how to take care of your karma and protect yourself, you can go down to the deepest hell, Apaya. Apaya Loka. So this one is the 2 extreme. It's only within the human realm where you can see the 2 extreme. You can see those truly deluded ones going through a lot of suffering. Even though our human realm is considered a happy rhyme. Do you know? The human rhyme, Manasa, is called Kama Sukati. Kama Loka, but Kama Sukati. Here, Kama is K-A-M-A, not K-A-R-M-A. Here, Kama, K-A-M-A, means sensual. So Kamaloka is the sensual rhyme. So ours is Kamaloka Sukati. We are the happy rhyme. The Deva also happy rhyme. But above the Devas, the Brahma, they are not Kamaloka. They are Rupaloka, the form rhyme, dominated by form. Their senses are not strong. The emphasis is not on sensuality. That's why our sensual rhyme, our sixth sendo, very powerful. Sensuality very high. Then of course the hell rhyme is also a sensual rhyme. The four woeful state also sensual rhyme. But they are the unhappy rhyme. Kama loka dukati, suffering rhyme. They really suffer. So we have finished off with the three types of bodhisattva cultivation. Then note number 5. All 5 spiritual faculties, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya, are crucial mind states needed for cultivation to enable us to understand spiritual teachings of the Buddha. That's why they are called spiritual faculties. You have them, the 5. Sadha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya, you will understand spiritual teaching very easily. Because these are spiritual faculties that can enable you to understand spiritual teaching. That's why without these 5, the opposite 5 will arise. The opposite 5 are called mental hindrance. Hindrance means they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why they are called mental hindrance. So this one is part of the essential teaching of the Buddha. So these 5 mental hindrance and 5 spiritual faculty, they are one pair of opposite. If you have developed the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will not arise. It will cease to be. Then the last sentence of point number 5. Building on top of each one means the spiritual faculty until they become ballast or power to aid us in time of tribulation. Because when you have developed this spiritual faculty until they become unshakable, means they become ballast or power, then your field of merits is very high. Well, it can enable you to develop great understanding leading to great cultivation. Means your virtue, your wisdom becomes very, very high. And because of that, you will have a lot of merits, blessing, unlimited. So when you need to invoke power of merits or wholesomeness or blessing to help you during certain period of difficulties, because to walk this bodhisattva way, you need to have a lot of merits, so that you can invoke power of merits. Then you must have this wisdom and understanding to create great affinity with great beings, who can also help you. So all these are important requisite for the bodhisattva. Okay, point number 6. Sister Tammy asks about the true meaning of defining this form and mind of us as non-self, yet not no self and nothingness, as stated in the last Thursday class outline short note. Because I always explain that this 5 aggregate of form and mind, the Buddha says, is anatta. Anatta means what? Non-self. But he didn't say there is no self inside there, you understand? You understand the difference between no cell and non-cell or not? No cell means this one doesn't belong to you, because it's not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Cell means what? You have control, isn't it? True or not? If it's self, means it belongs to you, isn't it? Belong to you means what? You can tell the body, isn't it? Since it belongs to you. Don't get sick, don't get old, and don't die. But the body, when you want to fall sick, never ask you permission. That's why it's not you. It doesn't belong to you. So you have to understand. There is this form and mind, which is the living being that we call, and this one is non-self. Not no self, you understand? There is a self, but not that type of self that you have complete control, understand? Where you can command. That's why in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, you remember what the Buddha told the monk, the five ascetic. He said, is this body self? Is feeling self? Is perception self? Is sankhara self? Is vijnana, consciousness self? What did the monk reply? It's definitely non-self, isn't it? It's not self. Not self means what? The Buddha said, if it's self, it will not tend towards what? It will not tend towards suffering, isn't it? Because it's self. If it's self, it will follow your instruction, isn't it? It will become a permanent, unchanging entity. It will always be like that. It means always happy. Or it can never be otherwise. But because it's non-self, it's not that type of self that you can cling on to, hold on to, and define. That's the reason why it tends towards suffering. That form and mind go the way of nature. Feeling tends towards suffering. How can you say feeling is you? Do you understand? If it's you, you can say, remain like that. Don't tend towards suffering. So all this is within your command. But because it's not self, that's why it is non-self. But it's not no self, understand? So non-self is very deep in its meaning. There is such thing as a human being, but it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can command and say, you can tell the body has to be this way, not otherwise. Means doesn't tend towards suffering. But this body goes the way of nature, doesn't listen to you. Feeling also goes the way of nature. Depending on your views, your opinion, you attach, you cling, you suffer. Without wisdom, you suffer. But there is such thing as a human being. That's why it's non-self. And there is something, not nothing. A lot of people have a lot of misconception about Buddhism because they hear the word emptiness. Everything is not real. Then they say, live life for what? Cultivate for what? After you cultivate, no one to be enlightened. See? Because of that delusion. They still believe in the Atta, somebody becoming enlightened. The form of mind is enlightened, yes. But that fellow is not you, understand? That one is non-self. That one is condition arising, dependent originating, a causal phenomena, not you. And even the eternal nature, the true mind, is not a being. It's also anatta. Well, that one cannot come out and live life, it's not an entity. That one is a nature. That's why the Buddhist teaching is very profound. Very deep in this understanding. So unless you have realized the deep truth, you can never comprehend. That's why you need to cultivate. Cultivate means developing the wisdom. First turning, second turning, leading to the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Then from there, you meditate and develop the true deepening penetrative wisdom called Bhavana Maya Panya. So this is how the cultivation can lead to real awakening. Okay, so I will read note number 7. Note number 7 explains the thing. Bratio clarifies further that within the conditioned world or the phenomenal world of consciousness of ours, there is such a thing as life. There is such a thing as a human being within the conditioned world. But this human being is nothing but just a fleeting or a momentary condition arising causal phenomena, which is not so real, which is subject to karma, as real as it can be. It is only within the moment. Moment to moment life passes by, and that present moment is the only reality, because past is already gone and future yet to come. Yet how stable is the present moment? As real as it can be. Split second, the moment is dead and gone. This is the true meaning of empty nature existence. Now do you understand what is being explained? How many of you don't understand? Everybody understands, so no need to explain. I ask again, how many of you don't understand? Oh, good. Now that means I don't have to explain. Because life, as we all understand, is existent. To live life is to go through existence. True or not? And existence is time-related. Correct or not? So you can define the whole spectrum of time into past, present, and future. That covers all of time, all of existence. Of the three, which is the reality? The past is already gone, isn't it? Future yet to come. All these are not reality. The present moment is the only reality. That's why Eckhart taught the power of now. And people always talk about the present moment awareness, whether it's the highest on earth, within existence. That is the highest, the present moment. But this is the only reality. So if you understand this, then you should inquire through meditation. What are you doing within the moment? The question is, we understand. Moment to moment, life passes by. And that is the only reality. Can follow, huh? What are you doing? What are living beings doing? You go and inquire. You will know the answer. You silence your mind, meditate, and you find out. Even in the daily life, your daily mindfulness is very good, very stable. You can see. Most people who don't have mindfulness, they are heedless. They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. True or not? If that is what you are doing, the Buddha says you never live life. This is what heedlessness is all about. Because within the moment, you cannot silence your mind to be aware, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life within the moment. But this is the only reality. And the present moment, how stable is it? You ask yourself. This moment you talk about it, the next moment is dead and gone. Without mindfulness, you can never be with the moment. You can never exist with a silent mind within the moment. That's why the Zen teaching is very unique. Drinking a cup of tea is Zazen, meditation. Because within the moment, when you are aware, mindful, without thought, what happened? What happened? Without thought, there is no fear, no worries, no thinking, nothing. You are in the perfect state of mindfulness awareness to experience life, anusana. That's why you can live life to the fullest, experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And every moment, every taste of that tea is with clarity, with full awareness. And you really taste, drink. And I can ask you, every day you drink your favorite drink, may it be coffee, tea, or whatever. How many of you really truly drink? Before you drink, you think. When you drink, you think more. When your hand moves there, you are also not aware. How you bring the cup to your mouth also, you don't know. Well, you are either looking at your WhatsApp or thinking. And they call it by a very good name, multitasking. You are actually healers. But if you are aware, mindful, it's totally different. Everything is done with awareness. And you are with the moment. Silent awareness. Beautifully living. Truly living life. You are fully aware. And fully conscious about life. You are not lost in thought like before. That clarity, the awareness, that mindfulness. That's why life becomes different. Life becomes beautiful, meaningful. Full of love, joy. You can realize the pristine beauty and wonders of life. But within the moment, without thought, you don't have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. All the negative mind state is no more. What you have is the pristine, silent, stillness, tranquility of mind. That pristine beauty and stillness of mind. That's how you can be with the moment in silent awareness to realize the pristine beauty, tranquility and stillness of mind. Then there is so much joy inside there. That's why you will experience a lot of pity. Moment of joy. Then the understanding, the wisdom will also give you joy. And your mind is free from all suffering. Nothing can disturb you. Nothing can cause you to become unhappy or stir your mind or cause you to be reactive. You can just live, truly live life to the fullest. That's what the beauty of the teaching is all about, the Dhamma. So now you understand. The present moment is the only reality. So without mindfulness, you can never be with the moment in silent awareness to experience life, to live life, to cultivate, to do all those appropriate cultivation that you need for you to realize the truth, to awaken to the truth. So this is the part that most non-cultivator will not develop the understanding. But if you are a cultivator, if you reflect, then you really go into it, you will develop the understanding and you will know how to cultivate. So that's why just now note 7, I already explained. Then note 8. Yet, if we have the wisdom to make use of our good and blessed life for the good of the many, to continue our cultivation and to fulfill our vow, then this form and mind of ours, means our dissegmented life, can serve us well to enable us to live the beautiful third phase of Dhamma Pativeda, means the life of an enlightened being, the noble life of an enlightened being. So Pativeda is the third phase of Dhamma. First phase of Dhamma is Pariyatti, learning the teaching. Then phase 2 is to put this teaching into practice, Patipatti. The Brickfield logo has this tree. I remember their Buddhist logo down there, this tree. Pariyatti, Patipatti and Pativeda. Up there is the wheel, I think, with the deer there. It is the first turning of the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. at the deer park. Then after that, I read on. Understanding the wisdom of both the conditioned and the unconditioned Dhamma, we will know how to truly live life, even though anatta, non-self, or empty nature. But there is such a thing as life within the conditioned world. This is the reason why it is not no self and nothingness. So now you understand, it's not no self or nothingness. There are things, but they are not so real. It's just a phenomenal world of consciousness, dependent originating. You know what is a phenomenal world of consciousness? It's just consciousness. Come and go, come and go. Yeah. Then number 10, Sister Tammy asked about her observation of the six senses and an inkling she had that it is distant and dissociated from the self. Yeah. Then I explain, Brother Theo implored us all to inquire deep into all our sense experience, which form our experiences of the world, and how the form and mind function with the sense basis and the mundane mind. Inquire, how do you know the world? And how do we interact with the world? Through our senses, right? Because without your six senses, you cannot know the world, you cannot interact with the world. And what is thought? Who thinks and what thinks? Is there a thinker behind the thought? Silence your mind to find out. Find out what the mind is and discern the true mind. That's why you must realize the true mind. There are two minds. One is the mundane thinking mind. The other one is your true mind, the meditative mind. Then note number 13. Only after investigating deep into our nature to understand clearly who are you and what are you. Example, how do we know the world? Will we understand the external world as manifestation of mind? This one can you follow? Yeah? Manifestation of mind. I read on, you will understand. Mind make adi, and mind is the forerunner of all things. This is Dhammapada verse 1. When mind arises, all things within the phenomenal world arise. They exist already, and everything is like real. That's how the phenomenal world of consciousness got you. How do we know the world? Through your senses, isn't it? And your senses give rise to what? Consciousness, isn't it? Your eye can see, there is seeing consciousness. Your ear can hear, there is hearing consciousness. Then your nose can smell, smell consciousness. Your tongue can taste, taste consciousness. Then your body can feel, tactile consciousness. Then your brain can think, can create mental perception, can create mental conditioning, thinking, volition, mind states, and everything that the mind can do. Then it can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So this is how you know the world. So you know the world through the six senses, which arises the respective six type of consciousness. That's why you can hear the nice music, the world of sight and sound. You can see all the beautiful scenery, the various good vibration, music, sound, vibration and all that stuff. Then you can smell all the good food, the good fragrance, taste all the good food too. Then you can have comfortable feeling when you are in the aircon environment, or a very conducive environment like what we are having here. So all these are possible because of our sense of consciousness. Then your thought can give rise to a lot of beautiful things. It can feel, it can perceive, it can develop understanding, it can contemplate, it can reflect, it can even plan, scheme, and do a lot of things. And it can be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So this is the wonder of the forming mind, wonder of nature. That's why the Buddha say, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Where mind arise, all this arise. The phenomenal world of consciousness. So within the consciousness, the phenomenal world of consciousness, we can know the world. That's why mind is a forerunner of all things. The phenomenal world is a world of phenomenal world of consciousness. It's only consciousness. Either seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought. That's it. Finish. And that is the complete world understanding. So if it's just consciousness that come and go, arise and pass away, then why are we being deluded by it? Do you ever ask yourself that question? It's just a phenomenal world of consciousness. How real can it be? You're seeing consciousness, you're hearing consciousness. Smell, taste, tactile and thought. They come and they go, they come and they go. How real can it be? And the present moment is just like that. And yet, you cannot see. You think the world is very real. You can become so emotional over things. When you awaken to this truth, you will have a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha for teaching you this teaching. That's why you must silence your mind, meditate, develop daily mindfulness to see all this within life, every moment, every instant. This consciousness, they just arise and pass away, arise and pass away. And without mindfulness, without understanding, you cannot awaken to all this truth. And there is no way you can understand the Dhamma. But when you understand, there is so much joy inside your heart. You all of a sudden, like you awaken, then no more of this delusion. You will never, never allow all these things to fool you anymore. Because you see them clearly. How many of you have reflected and developed this understanding? Some of you must have done it. Because when you understand it, especially even through the second turning, reflection, contemplation, you can see this very clearly. Then when you are mindful, you can see the arising of consciousness. That's why every moment of consciousness is so beautiful, so pristine. But human beings never live life. Do you know what they do? They worry about life. Everything also like very kanchong, very urgent. This one not done yet, that one not done. Then later on worry about yourself. Health problem, financial problem, relationship problem. Then worry about your children. Then later on worry about your grandchildren. Then complain about your neighbor. Your mother-in-law. Your father-in-law. All this type of nonsense going on in the mind. Look at living beings. They are so heedless. Then you look at the protester in Hong Kong. Even more crazy. Then every country say, you go UK, Brexit, all the problems there. Everything arise through one. Mind make a day. Mind through thought create division. Division create conflict. Conflict create misunderstanding, war, and all the problems of the world. That's why without Dhamma, you cannot deal. Without Dhamma, you are like blind, you can't see. And you get yourself entangled, taking sides, arguing here and there. Then someone complain, comment, why these people so stupid? But you never see your own stupidity deep inside. Yeah, you are also part of the overall collective consciousness. That's why Krishnamurti say, for the world to change, the individual must change. Each and every individual our consciousness. We add them all up. The summation of all consciousness is the planet consciousness, our Earth consciousness. So the Earth is what it is today, is the result of the collective consciousness. So in order to change the world, the individual must change. And this process is not easy. You need to have certain numbers. Like I say, at least 1% of the human population to have this understanding, for it to have the critical mass to reverse all this negativity of mind, negativity of consciousness, so that it can all evolve and transform for the better. That's why Dhamma is needed. Yeah. But living being is forever living being. You teach them Dhamma, they are not interested. They say, can make money. Cannot make money, don't come and see me. I got no time. But when they are down with the first noble truth reality, suffer like mad that time, then they realize money is of no much use. Money cannot buy them life. At that time, they try to look for solution. Too late. So, like the Buddha said, when there is delusion, living beings suffer. That's why without Dhamma, without the understanding, the wisdom, you can never progress. You can never develop the understanding to live life, to develop the ability to have the noble life, the beautiful and good life. So in order to understand life, you need to understand Dhamma. When you understand Dhamma, you understand life, you know how to live life. Then you know how to develop the appropriate causes and conditions for you to have the good life, to live the noble life of an enlightened being, free of all suffering. Then because of the wisdom, the understanding, your life will be very, very blessed, very meaningful, very beautiful. That's why you can be a blessing to all of mankind, humanity and the world. That's what the Dhamma is for. So strive on with heedfulness, be diligent to develop this understanding so that you can change. And when you change, the world will change, your loved one will change, people whom you come into contact will change. That's why slowly, slowly, it can change the world. We do our part, no need to hurry. Everything has its causes and conditions. It has taken so long to evolve to what it is today. You cannot change things overnight unless there is condition for it to evolve that way. Okay? So, anybody got any question? Clear? Otherwise we continue. Oh, almost 10:15 already. I have to speed up a bit. Otherwise today we don't have the time to even continue from where we stop. Okay, note number 13. We finish this one. Yeah, now is the last one, note 14. To be able to see things as they are, or the reality and the truth, without the perception through our memory lens, is true wisdom, which is truly beautiful. Yeah. This one is the word coined by my daughter. Without the perception through our memory lens. You know what is memory lens, right? Means you don't act according to memory, understand? So memory is what? What is memory? Everything that you accumulate is your accumulation of experiences, true or not? Good and bad. And what is it that normally human beings accumulate? Of course, there are a little bit of good memory. But most of the time, it's all of your negativity of memory. The rubbish inside there. You know what? A living being have this very fond way of accumulating things that cause them suffering. Their fear, their phobia, their insecurity, their scars of memory, their worries, their anxiety. Because they have so much fear, they worry about them, they keep on accumulating them, store them in their memory. And this is what that cause suffering. So through your accumulation of all this negativity of mind state, it will condition wrong thought. When you accumulate all this fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, scars of memory, what happens? Whenever you live life, when you recall them, either through memory, or when you see somebody who has done something funny to you, or you hear some news that can condition your memory of this problem or things that you have done, then fear arises, worry arises, anxiety arises, sorrow, lamentation arises, especially fear. So, the Noble Eightfold Path that the Buddha taught is very beautiful, but people don't know how to apply them. They always try to teach you right view leading to right thought. And what are right thought? They always tell you the four Brahma Vihara: Metta, Karuna, Mudita, and Upeka. There are a lot more right thought. All of the virtuous thought are your right thought. Your sincerity, your honesty, your respect, your gratitude, your kindness, your goodness, your gentleness, your pleasantness, these are all right thought. Especially gratitude. Then you must have what they call it's quite similar to it's not humility. Humility is for the other one. This one is like contentment. Contentment means you have contentment. You are easily contented because you don't compare with others that have more than you. That's why contentment is the highest wealth. If you are contented with life, you are very peaceful. You are very happy. But what is more important to me is to teach people what constitutes wrong thought. And it's never thought. I have been to Brickfield and whole world. I saw the teaching. Nobody teach you what is wrong thought. Maybe they mention thoughts that have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is wrong thought. Who doesn't know that? Even the kid also will know. It doesn't explain anything, isn't it? Maybe you don't even teach people what constitutes evil. You didn't even expand on greed, hatred, and delusion. But even if they expand, they can't understand. To me, because I experienced it through life, I saw how people suffer. They came to me. They relate all those things to me. Then I realized all these wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition their fear, their worry, their anxiety, their sorrow, their lamentation, their selfishness, their cruelty, their emotional negativity, and their fear. So all these are wrong thoughts. That's why I say to them, whenever you are not peaceful, whenever you are not happy, the wrong thought is there. Whenever you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and insecurity, these are all wrong thought. That's why I say, never act according to memory. Your memory is the storehouse of your accumulated experiences. And most of them are negative, wrong thought.
That's why you act according to that means you are acting according to your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, and all those negative mind states, your wrong view and all those things, your conditioning, your belief system. That's why people argue, people fight. So all these are wrong thoughts. So they condition all this negativity of mind state, they condition suffering. So when you understand what constitutes wrong thought, then you start to wake up. Whenever you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, it means the wrong thought is there. And you have to trace the origination factor. What makes you think that way? It's always your self-delusion. You think you exist. That's why the fear arises, the selfishness arises, the emotional negativity arises. Fear is the worst. Fear is born of delusion, conditioned by a lot of negativity of mind states. So sometimes out of selfishness, you do a lot of wrong things. Then sometimes out of anger, emotion, you also do a lot of wrong things. So all these are wrong thoughts. Thought that condition your negativity, your mind states, that lead to suffering. So when I understand what is wrong thought, I will start to reverse it. Through what? Through understanding. I straighten my view. Why must I have fear? Why must I worry? What did the Buddha teach? The Buddha says, learn to develop the wisdom through seeing things as they are. Then straighten your view. Act with right view, right understanding. Means act with wisdom. Don't act with memory. Wisdom is what? Having the Dhamma understanding. Like he said, whatever that arise or happen, there are causes and conditions behind. And what are the causes and conditions behind? He said, mainly karma. We are under the five daily contemplation. The last one, he said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So what else can it be? If I know this is karma, I have to accept. Because in the past, I must have caused this type of negativity of mind state to people. I must have hurt people, harmed people, or jilted people, or caused suffering to fellow living beings. That's why now, the condition, I reap what I sow. I cannot blame anybody for what happened. That's why when you have this right view, you will come to terms with the reality and you will accept the reality of the moment. When you accept means what? No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more hatred, no more of all those negativity or mind state. This is fair, nature's law. I reap what I sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. In the past, through ignorance, I don't understand, I commit all this karmic negativity. Now the condition has arisen for it to develop the friction. I have to accept. That I act with understanding. That's why from right view, right understanding, I act. Act with what? Noble Eightfold Path. No more wrong thought. No more getting angry. Trying to be selfish again. Trying to cheat, deceive, and trying to work your way out through negativity of mind state. You will never go against the nature's law, the law of karma. You will act according to wisdom, understanding. That's a right view of condition, right thought, right speech, right action. You will speak to people nicely to resolve the problem amicably. Act accordingly. No more with delusion. Then arise all the right thought. The moment you can accept this reality, you are at peace. Do you understand? No more blaming, no more getting angry with other people or even creating all the regret and all those things. All this negativity of mind state cease. So
The moment you can accept the reality of the moment through right view, through right understanding, you are at peace. Then you ask yourself, what actually happened? Then you reflect, you contemplate. How can I resolve this amicably? How can I act righteously to resolve this amicably so that nobody gets hurt? So that I will not violate against the law of karma. And then I ask myself, how can I act to move forward? That's how you solve your problem. So you act according to wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path, your problem is resolved. That is what the teaching is all about. No need to fear, no need to worry, no need to be sad, angry. No need to arise all those emotional mind state, negativity of mind state. You can be at peace. That's what the Dhamma is all about. And you can even smile or laugh at what happened. Because through ignorance, this thing happened. That's why as you cultivate, as you develop understanding and you progress, you realize you have less and less of this karmic negativity. Every life you come, you become so beautiful. That's why going the Bodhisattva way is so beautiful. That's why every life my nature come is so beautiful. Even this life is so beautiful. Because it has this understanding, the vow and all those things. You read that blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, you understand. I have given you that book, the second last book. This one will allow you to absorb very long, busy. But it's your good affinity, the triple gem. Otherwise you won't be here. And this one can help you develop a lot of understanding. If you got anything that you are not clear about, you can ask them during the next class or any other session. We will have the Q&A session also. Okay, what's the time now? I think almost there. Oh, 2 more minutes. Do you have any question? So today we forget about the chapter 41. We just discussed this. Good enough. The last Tuesday's outline channel is very good. Today I try to re-explain it so that you can understand clearer. Then go back, listen where it's recorded. And you listen, you will develop deep understanding. Because when you listen, you can pause, you can take notes, or you can rewind back. And listen again. Because it's not easy to grasp all this unless you are a real cultivator who have understood all this. And then you find it very beautiful, very amazing. The Dhamma is so beautiful. The way it flowers, the way it actually enriches your heart, awaken you. Give you the understanding. All this can happen. That's why you should thank people who help to do all the video. Brother Tio now is doing it. Earlier on was Jin Hao. He is the one that is mainly responsible. He also suggests to us what type of camera to buy. And this one a lot of Kayamita donated. And the offer come out within 2 hours all taken up. Luckily they take one slot for Kayamita fund. So all Kayamita get to partake. And it's is quite affordable. I think each person only pay about 50 ringgit, I remember. And it costs about 3,000. Very fast the target was rich. And they were so kind, Sui An and Jin Hao. Sui An put my wife's name and my children's name. He knows I don't want to put my name, so he put my wife and my children. Then Jin Hao think of the Kayamita, he put my Kayamita. After that, the last two, somebody take up, finish. But don't worry, rejoicing also got married. So you must learn how to rejoice, sadhu, 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 or whatever wholesomeness. Then this one has helped so many people. Even BC told me, he saw my video on YouTube. Then he didn't know until somebody sent him the previous Sunday HJBA talk on the three turning of the fourth of the truth. Then he saw my face. Then she said she remember. Then when she mentioned in the message to Stephanie or Yun Chan, then sent to Stephanie, he talked about the tape library, the family looking after the tape library. Then I said, this is the right one. Then when she came in just now, I remember her. You didn't change. You didn't change. You are still, surprisingly, after 30 over years, that time she was like Tammy. So there is a lot of good karmic affinity. That's why Triple Gem can come in very unique way. You have the affinity after so many years, still can remember, and the condition arrived because of the video. And this video, less than 3 months, we just started it. The actual one was done by their own handphone and one old camera, I think. At the last retreat in Cameron Highland. By the way, don't miss the next one. Every year we got this 9-day retreat at Cameron Highland, Triple Chan Temple, San Bao Si, Rinchang. That place is very special. That was the place where I developed the understanding of the Dhamma. 1989, my mind went into that cessation while I was there in a short retreat. So that place was very different. That's why when they asked me where to hold the retreat, I said, you go and inquire there. And surprisingly, the abbot there and the monk there, they allow us to use. And we have been using it for, I think, 5 years already. Got 5 years or not, relative? And that time, they say they want a letter with a society. We don't have a society. We don't have letter. We don't have letterhead. So Sui An was very kind. Sui An checked with SJBA, I think the president and the committee. Wow, they willingly lend us their letterhead. So we sent in. So they approved. So first year when we were there, I think they were quite surprised because it was a lay person. They expect at least monk or somebody, but a lay person teaching. But after the first year, they liked us so much. Wow, they were so happy to see us there. Because the first year, I remember the weather, everything was so unique. A lot of things happened. Every time we go for retreat, a lot of strange thing happened. Then there were a few occasions before we went up. It was raining like anything there. They say rain like cat and dog. Very heavy rain and the weather very cold. But the moment we went up there, for the 9-day retreat, 8 days sunny. The sun all came out bright, shiny. Very good weather. Then on the 8th day, towards the end, closing ceremony, suddenly the downpour came, very heavy, just during that time. Then after that, over. Then next morning, clear again, for us to have our last day. Last day is normally we do the closing ceremony, followed by expression of thanks and all things. Then we make offering to the temple, people, the community, the committee, and all those very places that we intend to donate to. Then we thank the committee members and all those who have helped out. Then after that, we will take the bus down. And it was always a beautiful retreat, very meaningful. Then it was during those retreat that a lot of very beautiful teaching evolved, because 9 days continuous, you learn a lot, you learn a lot. You really spend time listening, meditating, cultivating. And that 9 days wholesomeness, you can never get it anywhere. Money cannot buy. And the amount of wholesomeness that arises is beyond measure, because all the 10 meritorious actions, you will get to do them. Then even our daily, weekly session, each and every year, this weekly session, you may think it's only 2 hours plus, but the 10 meritorious actions that you have developed is priceless. And if you are a real cultivator, you will benefit a lot. Your nature will receive a lot of things. You can draw my nature's wisdom energy, that nature's energy within. All these are possible. Okay, we better end, otherwise too late for some of you. Sorry for taking up about 7 minutes of your extra time. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then after that, you can make your aspiration. We will also devote blessing for the nation. Akka satta cha pumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siriya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo deo wasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bawa tu loko cha raja bawa tu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.